Kulana Black Gemara. Rabbi Gemara Kufayin Gimel Amar Aleph. Rabbi Ibois Ema. We said the machleik is whether we learned another. Okay, we learned a Braise who argues on Mishnah, and our Braise says that our Mishnah seems to be saying that you could produce that two people of the same name can at least be lenders. One of them can be a lender, not others. But the Braise says he can't. And we tried to explain why not. What are we worried about? If we're not worried about in the field of what are we worried about? So we said we're arguing whether if Oisius can just be given, be created from the seed. If I just have a shtar that somebody owes me money, can just give it to you. And now, even though my name is on it, it now becomes yours or not. So if we are choishes that it could, if it could become yours, then we are choishes that the guy gave it to you as a pekodin, and you're now going around and collecting it. So that's about choishes, worried or not. Everyone holds that bond. You can give over a shtar to somebody else. A shtar that says there will be no Shimon money. And Shimon can give it to Levi. Now Levi, the owner, just by giving it over, you have to write another shtar for it. If I have a shtar, if it's someone else's name on it, do I have to bring a proof, Adim or something, to tell me that he gave me the shtar or not? Tana did not. Our Tana holds, ain't if you have to bring it, I'm not worried that anything happened. Or the other one, because they bring Adim that says that it's legitimate. And if you don't bring Adim, you won't collect. But the other opinion says that you don't have to bring it, and therefore we're worried that maybe he gave it to you as a pekodin, and therefore he doesn't want to pay. Why should I pay you? I lent it to borrow from him. And the other guy, I say, I paid you. Needn't we learned, Oisius, Nikitin Mesida, we actually have a machlekes, Oisius can be passed over just by handing it over. Since it's not his name on the document, he has to bring a raya edim or something that he received the document legitimately. And Rav Amar ain't the tzar l'avirai. Since the shtar came out of his hand, we're going to believe that it was given to him. Amar Rav Amar ain't the tzar l'avirai. No, that you have to bring a raya. The time the brayis echad mina achin. One of the brothers, let's say three brothers, one of the brothers produced a shtar chayv yetsim etachas yadoi. Has his father died, and one of the brothers suddenly takes over the shtar and says, "You owe me money." Allah v'lahavi raya that the shtar belongs only to him. My love, so what's the pshat? Who are the lachim? Make no difference, a brother or a fremder. If you have a shtar that's not written to your name, you have to bring a raya that now you're the owner of the shtar. Rav Amar says, "No, shiny achid is different. The shamti madodi, they all steal from each other. Since each brother feels that he's entitled, he's an heir, and he's entitled to yarshin. So therefore, each brother kuf ayin gimel v'alaf." 173A. So therefore, they all steal from each other. And that's why my brothers are worse than anybody else, and they have to bring a raya. Ikidamri Amar Rav, no, I mean, the Rav said, from here I know, Tanya, Ech Menachin, Shashlayish, Chayvish, Mechanei, all of the raya, the four of the brothers have to bring a raya. Why brothers? Achin, Shod Madodi. It seems to be clearly only brothers have to, because they steal from each other. Avalachin, you know, anybody else who produces a shtar, even though it's not his name, doesn't have to bring any raya. Vabai, Achin, Ishchen, no. The reason why it mentions Achin, because it's a Chiddush. Salkid, I mean, I would have thought keeping the Shamta Ma'adodi because all the brothers know that they all steal from each other, each one convinces himself he's doing the right thing. Ema, we will say, Mizdoya, Zahidi, Veloy Tzichalavaraya, the brothers are extra careful. So I don't, in this case, if one of the brothers have a shtar, probably it's true that his father gave it to him when he was alive still, otherwise the other brothers would have stopped him. Kamashlan, no, we don't say that. The Hodot Tan, this is what we learned. Kishem Shemoitzi and Hein Shtar Chayv Alachayim. The third Braisa. That again argues a different point. Just like these two, Yosef and Shimon, can produce shtar and others, kach might see zel zeh. Our Mishnah says that they cannot produce shtar one to another, and this Braise says they could. That one Yosef and Shimon can lend money to another Yosef and Shimon. What are we worried about? Why is our Mishnah saying no, and why is the Braise say you can't? But Micah Mifli, what's the argument? They're arguing what damage can happen because in shtar leleve v'afa pishay mal v'imba kemifli. Do you write a shtar to a leve? If a leiva says to Adim, do me a favor, write me a shtar that I owe this guy money. If we do write a shtar to a leiva without the marvel around, so the Yesim and Shim will go over to Adim, write me a shtar that the other Yesim and Shim lent me money. Once he has a shtar in his hand, he'll go over to the other Yesim and Shim and says, he says, Yesim and Shim owes money. I have a shtar, I'm the lender. You owe me money. So we're choishish. That's what Amish says, he can't do that. But the Braise says that you will not write a shtar that way, so what are you worried about? What's wrong? If I lend you money and I have a shtar, you owe it to me. Tana kedid an hour. Tana holds kois finch dalu leiv vav afav bisha ein malve ima the malve nadir sazimni. We are worried sometimes the ozle gabi safra go to sefer. The sadi witnesses one will tell them kisvili shtar right me shtar divinu lemeiziv mi yaisim shimah chaveda. I want to borrow money from the other yaisim shimah, my good friend. Ubasa the kasiv v'chasiv lein, after they wrote it and they signed it in the kitale, he holds on to the shtar. But umbele, he goes to the other yaisim shimah and says havli mei the yaisim benoi. Here, here's a shtar that you owe me $100. I'm the yaisim shimah. Tana Brosa, so therefore Amish says you can't do that. However, our Braisa holds Enkoy Zishtar Loiva Achei Malvi Imo. So nothing can go wrong. It says in the Mishnah,
two people the same name, you have to use the next generation.
But if he didn't, we're talking about if he didn't. If they didn't, there's no problem. Nimtza Le'echad Ben Shtar Yisra Shtar Yisra B'Shim. If somebody was dying and he writes over there that Yates, the Shtar of Yates B'Shim Perua, this guy's a lender. And he writes, you should know that I already collected the money.
Whatever he's being
makna
to the guy, wouldn't
he
have to have
Eidim
when he's doing it?
That's what we were just doing before. If you need Tzarech Raya, Tzarech Raya. The fact that the other guy is producing the shtar from his hand, that in itself is a Raya, that is his. You don't need anything more than that. How did he get it? Because people, you're allowed to sell shtaras without another shtar. If you hold, you're allowed to, the Mesila. If somebody is dying and Malvin, he says the shtar of Yitzchak Shem is paid up. Shtar is paid, and he happens to have two. Both of them lent. He owes him money. We don't know which one it was, so therefore neither of them have to pay. Time with the nimtzah. The only reason is because we found the shtar lying around. How long nimtzah? If he didn't, he lent to two Yitzchak Shemins. Motzi mapik. He can go to both of them and collect money. I not now. We learned that if Yosef and Shimon owes money to anybody in town, they don't have to pay because each one will say it's the other guy. Rav Yirmiyah said, we're talking about a case we just said that these are valid. Amish is talking about that the exact same name that is not valid. Here we're talking about they had three names, Yosef and Shimon, and whatever, a third person. So the Gemara in Ebezei. If the shtaras are very clearly spelled out, what do you mean neither of them have to pay? We don't know which one. Ask them for a receipt. If the malva still has a shtar, that means the only way the labor would have paid to receive a receipt. Ask them for a receipt and see what name is written on the receipt. The next is tavle b'shmo d'man d'kasi. Even if the receipt is still lying there, let's see the receipt. What name he put there? Is it Yosef b'Shimon ben Yaakov or Yosef b'Shimon ben somebody else? They're very careful in the shtar. They wrote three generations, but in the shayve, the receipt, they forgot to write. So we don't know which one it is. But paid, so you can't collect from either one. Abaye said, we're not talking about the malve. He found a borrower, Ben Shtar Yosef, that he owes money. Shtar Yosef Ben Shimon Alai. That is the shtar of Yosef, I owe money to Yosef Ben Shimon. Then he writes it, Perua. The Loiva writes, I owed money to Yosef Shimon and it's paid up. That's why I'm holding on to the shtar right now. But we don't know which Yosef Shimon he paid back to. He owes loan to both of them. Here he has a shtar in his possession that says he paid it back. Ishtarish name, Perua. Therefore he pays to neither Malva. They have to prove that he stole the money. And the only way that Rashbam says that the Malvas can collect is that both Malvas come together, then Monashech he owes to one of them, then he gives to one of them, and they split it between them. More generations. Mishnah If he says to his son, one of the shtaras over here is paid up, and we don't know which shtar it is, we'll say that they're all paid up. He's a lender. He said, one of the shtaras I have here that somebody owes the money is paid up. We don't know which ones. They're all paid up. There's one person that owes. Has two shtars of loans to this guy, and I said only one shtar is paid up. So obviously one of them is close. Shame Sham Shnayim is two. Hagodl Purua Kati Bro. So they will say the larger amount probably is paid up, and the small amount is what he still owes. Because the lender has to prove otherwise. If a shtar that's in my hand is paid up, I got a little Purua. One shtar is paid up. We'll say the larger one is paid up, and the smaller one isn't. The chayv that you owe me is paid up. It sounds like anything you owe me. The shtaras kulam purim. And even your ten shtaras to one person that you lent the money, they're all paid up. I'm living in Rovel Meatev. So daim mechudalach. If I said my field was sold to you and I have 10 fields, we don't know which one it is. So daim mechudalach. We'll give him the biggest field. The guy's dead. We don't know which is the biggest field. So daim mechudalach. If it's the field that I have, now all your fields together can be called sada in singular. If all the fields that I have are sold to you, kol sada daim mechudalach. All the fields are sold to him. So l'chayda, according to you, is that how it is? There's no such thing. But you're saying by chayv, all the chayvs are paid up. So how come a field we don't say? If I say the field is sold to you, all my fields should be sold. When it comes to the fields, who's sitting on the fields? The vendor is sitting on the fields. And the blokech is the one who's claiming it. So he has to prove that he meant all of his fields. Because Pasha is one field. This is the last Mishnah. If somebody lends money through a guarantor, you don't go collecting from the guarantor, unless the borrower has no money. But if you clearly stipulate, I'm going to collect the money from whoever I want, the borrower or the guarantor, then you put him in order. He has a right to go to the guarantor. He spelled it out. If there is an estate to the labor,
so if you can't collect from the guarantor, then what
only
the guarantor
when the labor has no money.
Only if the lender fails. Yeah. Only if the borrower fails.
Yeah. Can't go first to the guarantor. The Rishbag says, Im yesh nechosim l'leiva, ben kach, lo yipodim in orev. If the labor has nechosim, then in all cases, you don't go to the orev. What exactly does it mean? So what's he saying? The Gemara will explain later. He's talking about a case of a kablan. Where the guy says, give him money and I'll take care of it. A kablan is different than an odiv, and we'll learn in the next few days what the difference is. If somebody's an odiv to a woman, the man wants to, the woman says, I want an odiv that you'll pay me the ksuva. When the husband divorced her, the husband has no money, so the wife goes to this odiv to collect the ksuva. The husband has to swear that I'll never have enough for my wife, because maybe this whole thing is a trick. He'll divorce his wife because they have no money. They'll go to the odiv to collect, and they'll live together again and share the spoils. Shem yasekin unyon lechosu, she says, yachas as yishtah, they'll take his wife back. He says, make a neder that he can never even mevatel, a neder al das rabim, we'll see later. So the Gemara, my time, what's the reason of an odiv? Why can't you go to the order first? Because the order says, Gavra Ashlimat Li, I gave you a person, Gavra Ashlimalach. The borrower gave you a person, that's me, and I gave you a person, I gave you back the borrower. So what do you want from me? Maskal Nachman, hi din of the Pasoi. This is the din of the Persians. That's why we're following this way, that you cannot go to the guarantor. You want to write nothing, you can never go to the guarantor. Adiraba, Basar Arba Azli. Everyone, even the Persians hold you go to the guarantor. That they do something, they don't give any reason whatsoever. It doesn't make sense. What do you mean? You don't go, right now, the Gemara thinks you never collect from the Tanakam, saying you never collect from the guarantor. What kind of din is that? You know what the Mishnah means when it says don't go to the guarantor? Don't go first to the guarantor. First go to the borrower. He runs out of funds, then you go to the guarantor. If you lend money through a guarantor, lo yitva orev chila. Don't collect from the other first. If it clearly says I can go and collect the money from either the borrower or from the guarantor, yitva orev chila. You should demand from the orev chila. How do you know the whole concept of arvus? How do you know that an orev suddenly becomes a guarantor? Because I said so, therefore I owe you money. The Ksivit says by Yehuda, he said to Yaakov, Anoichi e'ervenu miyodi tevakshenu. Let me bring Binyamin down, and I guarantee you, and for me, you'll collect. So we see this concept of a guarantor. Maskar of Chizda, hokablonasi, there he's clearly saying, come directly to me first. This is like a kablon, this is not another, this is not a guarantor. Guarantor, you come second. This is all Yehuda saying, anything happens, come to me to collect money. Don't go to the loiva, don't go to Binyamin, come to me. That's not an odiv, that's a kablon. The Chizvit says, so how do we take a no? He says, I will be the one. So in other words, he took the place of the loiva. That's not a guarantor. I'll bring another pasuk. So we bring psukim here to the idea of an odiv. Not from a pasuk from the Torah, but I'll bring you a pasuk where it says, lekach bigdoi, take his beged, take his clothing off him. So he's talking to the malva. Take the beged ki orev zorm, because you became a guarantor, or he became a guarantor for a friend, the person, uva'ad nochriya chavleyu, and on behalf of a stranger, he gave it as a mashkin. And so over here it says he became an orev for a friend, the person. He didn't become a kablan that he says take from me first. So this is the idea of a guarantor. Another pasuk, it says, "Bini, my son, imaraftu l'reyecha." If you became an order for your friend for money, or lezor kapecha. Sorry? Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. To kata lezor kapecha, and you stretch out your hand for and open your hand for a stranger, which is like giving him because you gave a loan. Or nekashta minepicha, or through your words that you said. That you banged somebody or you insulted somebody in Yilchadat HaMinipicha, you got captured by your own words that you said. I say, Zois, do the following. Eifa, however, B'ni, my son, V'hinotza, you'll be saved. Kibosa b'kafri echa, that you came in the hand of your friend. In other words, the money that you owe, that you owe him. And leich, go, hisrapes, go ahead. Open up your hand, open up your hand and give him back the money. You now became bound up to that person to pay him. How? Through the fact that you became an raftel re'echa, you owe the guy money, so open your hand and pay him back. If you have money, then open up your hand. If you don't have the money to pay him, then send a whole bunch of delegation of friends to appease him that he shouldn't bother you. So we see that an Arav, you became an Arav, and you owe the guy money now. How do you owe money? He never lent you money because you took the responsibility. The whole idea of an Oriv, whether it works, actually, we learned a couple of days ago. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Smachta Kanye, that I said something I never expected to happen, it's still kind of. The Oriv never expects to pay back the loan, he's sure the bar will pay it back. Therefore, so according to Rabbi Yitzchak, Smachta Kanye, so then Oriv is responsible. Oriv Mishtabit. Little Rabbi Yehuda, and the Halach Rabbi Yehuda, Smachta Loik Kanye, then the Chayra Oriv Mishtabit. He never thought that you'd come to collect money from me, I was sure you go to the borrower, so the Oriv doesn't work. The halach like Abhuda smachta doesn't work, and yet va'ariv mishtabed. Everyone uses an ariv. Elo Ravashi, how does an ariv become a shubit? Forget all the psukim we learned. You know what's the lie? How does an ariv? You never borrowed him. You never lent him money. So how in the world does he become a shubit? Bahi The only reason why you lent the money to the borrower is because you trusted the guarantor. That hano that he has, that people trust his word. And if you gave it to him, gomer mishtabed nafshei. That is like I received something. I received the hanah, and in that thing I was mishtabed. I received the loan, the hanah. Rashbam learns an interesting thing. He says that it's as if, since you're doing it on my behalf, it's as if the malva is my shlich. It's as if the loive is my shliach to take the money on my behalf. It's as if I received the money. Because the only reason why you're lending the money is because of me. So the Rishbam says, as if you, the loiva is my shliach. Shluchusa the Arav Ka'avid, he says here. Let's quickly go. When do you collect? When there's no assets to the loiva. If there's no nechasim to the... If there are nechasim to the loiva, you don't go to the Arav. If you're going to say, 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 if there's nechasim to the Arav, you don't collect. Meklal, the Tanakama, Sofer. That Leishna, even there is Nechasim to the Leiva, you do go to the Leiva, you go to the Arav directly. But Leishna, how's it going to be? The Chassidim Mechsa, a few words missing in the Mishnah, V'hochi Tani. Hamalvetz Chaveidai, the Arav, everyone agrees if you lend money to it through a guarantor, Leiva, part of an Arav, you do not go to the Arav unless the Leiva has the money. Imam Ramanashe, part of Misha, Ephraim Misha, I'll pay, get paid from whoever I want, you're part of an Arav. Ahmed Ramuri Misha ain't the chasim leiva and the leiva has no chasim. Avol yesh the chasim leiva lo yipar amin arav. There is no chasim leiva. You don't go even in this case where you clearly spell it out. You don't go to arav. The kablan and the kablan. Afa pishi yesh the chasim leiva lo yipar amin ha kablan. But a kablan, which we'll see tomorrow what a kablan is. Even if there's no chasim to the leiva, you go to the kablan first. Rashi argues, he says, you never go. Im yesh nechasim leleiva echazeh, whether you're an Arav, ve'echazeh, whether you're a Kablan, lo yipara mehen. You don't go to them, you go directly to the borrower. Okay, we'll stop here.